You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Continue in our study through Jesus' words, the Sermon on the Mount, and we're focusing these summer months on the Lord's Prayer. Before we get into it, let's remind ourselves of the identity statement, who we are in Christ and who Christ is inside of each of us. Here we go. I am not what's been done to me, but what Christ has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Christ has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Christ, and Christ determines what I do. Thank you very much. Let's continue with the Lord's Prayer. I invite you to pray this from your heart, not just from our minds. If you need the words, here they are. Let's pray the words that Jesus gave us when we are expressing our heart's desire and seeking God's face. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And this morning we are going to focus on just a little part here. Read this with me. Give us this day our daily bread. We had some bread here this morning, just a moment ago. We took communion. And Theodosia mentioned that communion was something that people shared in. There was a gathering around the table in communities. There would be friends, there would be neighbors, there may even be travelers or strangers. The Hebrew children were keenly aware of what it meant to be a stranger in a foreign land and to have someone welcome you in to their space, into a safe and loving environment is one of the most beautiful gifts that we can share with someone. And so the Hebrew children, they knew what this meant to gather around a table and to what we call break bread. Here in Texas, we may call it breaking tortillas, or we may be breaking out the salsa or the guacamole. There's something about sharing what you have with those who are in your life that feeds your soul. I want you to take a moment and just focus in on this first line, what Jesus says. So bread was the staple. It was the food of the time that gave nourishment, gave the calories that you needed. It gave you the ability to live, to have life. Jesus says, when you're praying, pray for this specifically. Read it with me. Give us this day. Stop right there. Give us this day, this day. Notice he doesn't say, when you pray for bread, when you pray for your needs, pray for 5 years out or 10 years out or 25 years out. No, Jesus is bringing the focus and the attention in a time when, well, actually today we also need this reminder as well. When we need to be reminded that here, in this moment is where God is. Here in this moment is where I am. And you know what? Here in this moment is where you are too. Yeah. You're not in the past moment and you're not in the future moment. Where are each of us right now? We're right here. There's a simplicity of coming to God with the faith of a child and being able to say, God, you are going to do what needs to be done today. Today. It's hard as sometimes we grow up, we have this focus on planning and preparing for the future, and there is a time and a place to plan and prepare. But if we live in our heads always in the future, we miss God's presence where? Right now. Yeah. There are certain places where I have felt God's presence in my life in special ways. This past week, we spent some time at the beach, and I swam out a good ways into the ocean, almost beyond where the waves were coming in and crashing there on the shore. And I was out there, I'm just floating on my boogie board, and I'm thinking about all of the people fishing along the shore, catching black-tipped sharks. And I'm thinking, I hope I'm safe right now. Where was my mind? My mind was in the moment. I was hypersensitive and hyper-aware to what was around me, specifically below me, below the water, that I couldn't see. But it's also very special floating in the ocean. There's something that happens deep inside when I just float in the waves, and I'm just there present in that moment. I'm reminded that God is with me in very special ways, bigger than what I can imagine, like the ocean is bigger than I can imagine, but also a force of love and of good and of mercy in ways that are beyond my understanding. Jesus says, when you're praying, pray, give us this day. Take a focus on right here, right now. With all of the folks that I have opportunity to minister to who are towards the end of their life, they're in their 70s, they're in their 80s, they're in their 90s, they're 105 years old. These folks are folks who have come to a point of saying, I have right now. I have right now with my great-grandkids. I have right now with Jesus. I have right now with my spouse and my loved one. There's one thing that I've heard over and over again, it is, I would have taken time to just enjoy the moment and not be worried about the future or regretting and feeling guilty about the past. That's a theme that I hear over and over again. And Jesus knows that and is seeking to draw our attention and to bring us into a place where we are aware of God in this day. As a dad, as a mom, as a student, as a son or a daughter, there are things that we work towards in our lives, right? Education, something you're planning on moving towards. Dad and mom are working on paying for education for those who are in college, saving for those who will be in college in the future. There are things that we are doing for the future, but it is so important that we don't miss the enjoyment of right now and to see God's provision in today. Because you know what? When I see God has provided today my needs, my daily bread, it takes a little bit of stress, fear, anxiety off my shoulders when I think about the future. Because the God who has provided for me in where? Today, this day, is also the God who will be with me tomorrow, and in 5 years, and in 25 years, and 45 years. Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. It's not easy for us today, but it's important that living in the presence and giving in the present is a pattern that we receive from God in our lives. Living in the presence, giving in the present. One is God. The other is those people around us and in our lives. When Jesus invited his friends to pray, give us this day our daily bread, he was inviting his friends, whenever they had bread, to remember that God had provided that bread for them in that moment. God provided for me right now. You know what? Does that mean that God is going to provide for me in the future? God's presence is with me. The provision that I have in my life, all my needs being made a reality? And then how do I respond to that presence of God in my life? Another way we could say it is, I have received a blessing, now I am going to what? Bless others. When I live in the presence, God's presence right here and right now, I am free to give in the presence because I see that God is not bound by the things or held back by the things that sometimes I find myself bound and held back by. And what is that? Well, how much energy do I have right now? How much can I do? How creative am I in this situation? Am I going to run out of what I need in this time and in this place? Throughout the scriptures, we see those moments where people struggled with living in the presence and then responding to that presence of God in their lives and giving in the present. Children of Israel had a time where, and it's recorded in the book of Judges, where everybody was doing their own thing. It became a very self-centered, selfish, it was all about me. People became very fearful because they saw that there was a little bit of lack in their lives. Have you ever had a little bit of lack? Like, I only have a little bit. All right, youngins here. Have you ever brushed your teeth and realized that there was only a little bit of toothpaste left? What was your thought? Oh, there's only a little bit of toothpaste.
Yell for mom.
Yell for mom. I don't have to brush my teeth. There's not enough toothpaste for my brother. Hey, there we go. That's a great idea. All right, let's dial this down just a little bit more. You go into the bathroom and you're doing your thing and you realize there's only 2 squares of toilet paper left. Uh-oh. Each of us know what it means to be in that place of, I have something that I need right now in my life, and what I'm looking at is going to run out. Children of Israel found themselves in that place. And there was a family who, in their response to growing up, living in the promised land, living in this place that was supposed to flow with milk and honey, all of a sudden, all the people who God had placed in their lives to break bread with and to share with, they decided, we're not going to share our bread, and if we have an opportunity, we're going to take your bread from you. It was a dark time. It was a bad time. So this family decided that they were going to leave home. They were going to go away from the place that God had called them, where God had placed them to live their lives. I want to introduce you to a woman and her story of meeting individuals who had left the place that God had desired for them to share and to give, but they found lack, they found stinginess, they found greed instead. Her name is Esther.
Naomi had 2 sons. I married one, Orpah married the other. Then both sons died. So Naomi, whose own husband had died years before, had no one to look after her. She decided to return to her family's home in Bethlehem. My sister-in-law and I wanted to come with her, but she stopped us.
Don't you want to go back home to your own mothers? May the Lord give each of you another husband and a home of your own.
My sister-in-law went back home, but I stayed with Naomi. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. When I married Naomi's son, she became my family, and where she goes, I go.
That Israel's famine has finally ended, Natan.
Not everyone has recovered, Boaz. Many people have come to glean from us this year.
God has blessed us with more barley than we need. Should we not share that blessing with our neighbors?
Yes. And the wheat is nearly ripe. We'll be harvesting that soon as well.
Natan, who is that young woman over there?
Ah, she is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi. I think her name is Ruth.
So that is Ruth. Natan, let her gather grain among the sheaves. Pull out some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. And make sure the men don't bother her.
But there are dozens of gleaners out there. What is so special about this one?
Do as I asked. And don't give her a hard time. Her life has been difficult enough.
The story of Ruth, I encourage you to open up your Bible this afternoon. Read through her experience, the experience of those who were with her. Her husband, who had died, was from a small town called Bethlehem. Bethlehem means bread or the house of bread. It was meant to symbolize a place where those who are hungry could come and find food, find nourishment. It was meant to be a place where those who had shared with those who didn't had the abundance. There was a term that was used, gleaning. Those who had land would plant, and when their crops came in, God specifically said that there was a portion of each of the corners around the edges of their fields they were to leave. And if any of the crops, any of the wheat or the grain fell to the ground, then they were to leave it there for those who didn't have, for those who were struggling, for those who were hurting, for those who were in need. Here is someone who was a foreigner. She didn't grow up in Israel. She was part of another tribe of people. And yet there was a connection between her and her mother-in-law, something that she saw that was beautiful and that drew her into a deeper relationship. And she followed her back home to the house of bread. She found love through God's presence. And then provision for her in ways that she had never experienced before. The idea of migrating or going from one place to another, immigrating is not something that has taken place over and over again ever since we have been civilized people. When the crops fail, when a particular area is no longer good for food, for raising your animals, what do people do? They were nomadic and they would move to the next place. Where is water? Where is green grass? Where can we find a place to flourish and to live? That experience is an experience that is happening to this day. Last year, back in, I believe it was December, there was a study done and there's an estimate of 258 million people living in a country other than their country of birth. This is an increase of 49% since the year 2000. These figures are mind-blowing. These are people who have found themselves in a place where they are fleeing for their lives because of oppression, whether they can't experience the opportunity of having a family the way that they'd like to have a family, religious oppression, financial oppression. There are many different causes that bring people to leave their country, leave their land, and go to another place. And in God's law, there was a provision made to open up and to welcome in the stranger, the foreigner, the outsider. When Jesus prays, "Give us this day our daily bread," he is saying that I have to be in a place of hope, of joy, of love, not a place of fear and anxiety, a place of lack in my life. Why? Because there's going to be people who come into my life that have needs. There are going to be those who are the outsider. There are going to be the foreigner. There's going to be those individuals who are new to a particular place. And need to break bread with those who have bread to break with them. It's not easy, though. Once we get into this cycle of maybe I don't have enough today, when I forget that Jesus is letting us know that God will provide for our daily needs, I find myself in a dark place. And we could call it a scarcity loop. Let me show you the scarcity loop. See if you identify with this. The scarcity loop is, I'm afraid I don't have enough for my daily bread, my needs. And then I come over here to anxiety. I get anxious. What does that feel like to be anxious? Oh, that's not a good thing. I start to close down, like physiologically, I find myself closing down. And you know what? I end up making poor choices because I'm not thinking clearly. I'm not responding with love. And I don't have confidence in God's presence in this moment. And so what happens when I make poor choices? I spend money I shouldn't spend, when I shouldn't spend it, in a way that is not wise and thought through. I find myself with negative outcomes. And it feeds the fear, and I end up with this scarcity loop going and going and going. But Jesus says, when you pray, say, God, give me my daily bread. Help me to just focus on you are providing for today. You are providing in this season and in this time and in this space, and I trust you. I have hope that you are with me. Your presence is with me so that I can give in the present moment to those who have needs in their life. Let's look at the abundance loop. Read it with me. When I am in a place of gratitude, thank you, God, that you provide for my needs. What does that lead to? Leads to peace of mind, wise choices, positive outcomes, and gratitude. The abundance loop in my life. And it all stems back to this place where Jesus says, when you pray, how many times do you pray a day? Now, when we talk about prayer, I'm not talking about folding my hands. This is included, but not exclusively, just when I fold my hands and I close my eyes. What I'm talking about is throughout the day, those moments when I'm listening and I'm aware that God's presence is with me, that God is talking, and then I respond, or that I'm sharing with God throughout my day what is taking place. I'm opening up my heart and I'm expressing what is on my mind in that moment and saying, God, thank you that you're here. Thank you that I'm not alone. Thank you that you're going to provide for me today, tomorrow, and into eternity. The abundance loop in our lives is a beautiful thing. There are those moments where we're reminded that Jesus brings peace in the midst of the storm. This abundance loop doesn't mean that there aren't moments when I look at my spreadsheet on my budget and I'm like, how is this going to work by the end of the month? How are things going to pan out? But what I do is I, in that moment, say, thank you, God, that you have provided for me in the previous month. And I thank you that you'll provide for me this month. I'm not going to worry about next month. I may need to be creative. I may need to think outside the box. I may need to cut some fat away in my financial life. But the confidence is that God has provided for my daily bread and will continue to provide for my daily bread. There was a moment when Jesus had literally taken bread and taken fish. Remember that story where everybody's hungry? They were up in the mountain, and Jesus has a little boy bring his small loaves and a couple fishes to him. What does Jesus do? Has everyone sit down, blesses it, and then breaks it and gives it to everyone? That is a moment when the people who followed Christ had their eyes opened, and they saw that Jesus was there to meet their needs in ways that they had never imagined before. That God would multiply even the smallest and the little thing in their lives. That nothing was going to be held back from God's goodness being experienced in their lives. So the crowds got even bigger, and they followed closer, and they pressed in more and more and more. One day there was a conversation that Jesus was having. This is recorded in John's Gospel, chapter 6. And they make a statement to him. They have received God's goodness in their lives. They've had that bread. They've been satisfied, that daily bread in their lives. But they were a little bit fearful. What if Jesus doesn't do it again today? What if we can't find Jesus tomorrow? There was a little bit of desperation as you read this passage that you can hear that there were those who were uncertain about, is God really good in this area in my life? And they were questioning that. Read these words with me. They said, "Give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." God calls us to live in the presence, God's presence every day. When I have that confidence that I'm living in God's presence, then I am free to give in the present to those who have needs around me and to live a life of generosity. Receiving Jesus as the bread of life. And that's where it starts. Remember our loop? Sometimes we get in that loop. Where does that loop take place? Is it taking place on the outside? No, it starts on the inside. The way to break that loop, the way to come to a place of seeing that God is our abundance and provides for our needs, is to stop and to say, "Jesus, you weren't just the bread of life 2,000 years ago when you walked this earth, but you're the bread of life today. And I receive that calm and that peace and that assurance, and I express gratitude knowing that you will be with me in this day and provide for my needs." When I miss the abundance of God's love in my heart, I suffer. And those around me suffer as well. This morning, I want to take just a few moments and give us an opportunity to say yes to God's presence. Because until God's presence is first and foremost in my life, and I'm seeking that presence of God, I'm seeking to know God, to listen, and to talk with God, I don't trust God. And I'm not sure about what's going to happen in today. But when I'm with God, the God who is right now and right here with me, then I have hope and I have confidence that nothing will separate me from God's love. And I have that assurance that just as God's presence is with me, then I can also give and be an expression of God's presence through those moments of being present with other people and giving to other people. I'd like to just take a few moments here this morning. Why don't we all bow our heads? Take a few moments to take a deep breath and to just be in God's presence right now. Not worrying about last week and not worrying about the week to come. Give us this day our daily bread. God, we thank you for your presence. I thank you that you're inside of each of these hearts here in this place. And I pray that each of us would be free to express gratitude for the provision of our needs in today, to free us for the abundance you have for us tomorrow, the opportunity to share and to give. I thank you that nothing can take us out of the palm of your hand. We choose to allow ourselves to rest in the safety of your protection and your provision. And in that safety, we welcome you to move in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives to be able to say thank you for what we have and to share with those who may find themselves without. To invite a neighbor in to share bread around the table. Thank you, Jesus, for being the bread of life. We receive all that we need in you in our hearts today. We thank you and express gratitude for the ways that changes everything that we are, the way we communicate, how we live our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.